Falls. Our 800 number is 1-800-524-3604. And our email address is midday@sdpb.org. Before we get to your calls and emails, let's get an update from State House reporter Victoria Wicks. Hi, Vicki.
Hi, Kent.
How are things in Pierre today?
Well, I noticed that a lot of the parking places were empty in the legislators' row, so I think the West River ones might have been heading out before the snow hit. But
okay. Well, a morning filled with press briefings?
Yes, we had press briefings, and then there was a presentation in the Senate Health and Human Services on health care reform and that sort of thing. And it's been one of the things I know that you're doing a show on tech, so I have been noticing how often online services have been mentioned. You know, this morning David Lust, who is a House leader, mentioned that the South Dakota courts are going online and attorneys are going to be able to file. And Chief Justice David Gilbertson the other day mentioned that, and he talked about rural attorneys and how rural attorneys are going to be able to work more efficiently away from major population centers just by being able to go online. And then the information on healthcare initiatives and reform and that sort of thing is online also. And the Medicaid eligibility system here is going to have to be brought out of antiquity, from what I understand, in order to work with federal entities as that system gets revamped.
So quite a few tech-related things happening up there. What's going on next week, do we know?
Well, I haven't sat down and gone through specific bills yet. I'm going to be planning my week this weekend. But there are four major areas of concentration from what I can hear so far. And those are, of course, the criminal justice initiative that we've heard so much about, and education funding, of course, and then Medicaid, and, as always, economic development.
Outstanding. Anything else you'd like to leave with us today?
Well, just one more technological note. I would like to note that people in South Dakota, even though this is such a rural state and we're far from peer in many cases, everybody can participate by listening to those hearings online, and they can hear the entire thing. They don't have to rely on reporters like me to distill it.
Well, we certainly appreciate you doing that, being out in Pierre and distilling things for me. But you're right, sdpb.org, and you click on the State House link right there on the page, and literally the day's events will unfold in front of you, and you can listen live, and in some cases, the House and Senate, I know the House and Senate at 12:30 today and the Senate at 1, you can watch those online as well. So you can listen to them on audio, on MP3 audio, or you can watch them and, of course, listen to them later in the archives as well. So
right.
Appreciate you pointing that out as well.
Yes, it's been a valuable tool, and it's valuable for, you know, county commissioners and city councils and such to be able to hear that without traveling to Pierre.
Sure, and of course, all the good work that you're doing and the other reporters for public radio, all your stories are archived online as well. Next to the State House link there, there's a listen link. And of course, tonight on State House, on SDPB TV at 9 o'clock, is the Week in Review from South Dakota Public Broadcasting Television.
Yep.
So want to give a shout out to that as well.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you for the update, Victoria, and have a good weekend, and we'll look forward to hearing great things from you next week.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Great. And we are with our technology specialists today, our panelists, Mac Guru Joel Brovelite. Joel, let me get your microphone turned up here so that you can join the conversation as well.
Thank you.
How are you, sir?
I'm great.
Outstanding. Also with us is Nine Clouds Bro founder John T. Meyer. Hello, John.
Hello. Happy to be here on this rainy Friday in Sioux Falls.
Kind of foggy, kind of beautiful out
there,
though.
Yeah, I think we're in Northwest or something.
I'll take this in the middle of January, though.
True.
Absolutely. And Amos Asaf is with us today as well from SDN Communications, senior sales guru.
Engineer.
Thank you very much for being here. Okay. And joining us on the phone from Pierre, again, is Jeff Litterick from the Bureau of Information and Telecommunications in Pierre. Hi, Jeffrey.
Hello, all. And I'll mention,
as
someone from Pierre, I think we will always need someone to, distill that information out, because I read the bills directly, and I don't understand most of the language in the bills. So I think there will always be people that need to report on the on what's going on in Pierce. So.
Yeah, you know, some people use the word filter, and you use the word distill, which is a great way to say it. And absolutely, and believe me, I get to listen to those uncut raw feeds every day. We put up about 24 hours of audio when the session gets going every day from different committees and from the floors of the House and Senate. And I'll tell you what, those reporters earn their pay in Pierre doing that great work for us, and we really appreciate that as well. And again, Victoria, thanks for the shout out there on the live streams and everything. I don't know if everybody knows about it. I know a lot of people do. Certainly if you're on a board or a county board or a state board across the state, or if you're a lawyer, you most likely know it's there, and if you're a reporter, you for sure know it's there. But for the regular folks, if they'd like to get out and listen to some of those committee hearings and things, those are all out there. So again, thanks for the shout out on that. A reminder to the listeners today, if you'd like a list of the links that we're going to talk about on today's show, we'll post those to the web, usually during the show or right after. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/techradio. This is your chance to call for help on SDPB Radio. 1-800-524-3604 is the number to call. If you'd like to text us, that number is 3681NPR or 3681677. Our email address, probably the most popular way to get a hold of us, is midday, MIDDAY, at sdpb.org. Well, guys, we have a lot of things to talk about today. John T. Meyer, you were in Las Vegas, but down the road from CES, and we should probably talk a little bit about wrapping up the Consumer Electronics Show that is wrapping up in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I was in Vegas for a conference, but not the conference that someone told me down there brings 170,000 people to Vegas, the CES show. So about the size of Sioux Falls going to Vegas just for CES.
Yeah.
Some people are starting to say, some tech blogs and sites, that's just almost become irrelevant because of how large it is, and the trade show is literally like a jungle. But from some articles I'm reading, there's still some cool gadgets coming out. I was attending and actually spoke at a conference called New Media Expo, which is more about content creators, so a little bit more up our alley at Nine Clouds. Bloggers, kind of media partnerships, a few tech products, but not really consumer goods. So I was talking about infographics and some of the work we do.
Well, CES kind of got the cold shoulder this year from some of the tech giants.
And have for years. Well, Microsoft
more recently,
and Apple hasn't been there. I don't know. It's been 8 years.
Yeah, that's probably true, actually.
Why aren't they there with the Mini and talking
There's no coverage for a single person there. It's a waste of their money to spend $1 million on a booth.
And I think you're also seeing some of the big giants, Apple for one, Facebook, even Google, they have Microsoft, they have their own conferences. They just put on their own events their own
stuff. So it's more targeted and...
Macworld.
Macworld, yeah, but they're there. They're just walking around, talking to people, having meetings, and seeing smaller developers. Let's buy them. Let's not buy them. That's exactly what happened.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, wow. CES to this point is more about general trends than any particular products. A lot of the products shown last year never even made it out. It was just the technology. So it's more about technology trends anymore, and then the kind of niche gadgets versus, major product announcements.
What stood out this year? I keep hearing things about a Sony flat screen product that's kind of blowing people away. Is it that and a few other things then, Jeff?
Well, the biggest thing I got out of it this year in general trends, and it was kind of a calm year, is the death of 3D TV and the rise of 4K TVs. And what we mean by 4K is we're talking about the resolution. Right now, HD TVs you buy are usually what they call 720 or 1080p, and that's the resolution. So they're already showing screens and some really nice curved flat screens, and they actually curve them to give you more of an IMAX appearance, where they're doing 4,000 for the resolution instead of 1080. So, of course, 4,000 content is kind of hard to pipe because raw, uncompressed speed is faster than what even an SSD drive can give you at 600 megabytes per second required. But wow. The next big push is in 4K technology. YouTube actually can push compress 4K on some videos already. They've been demoing it. So that seemed to be the big push is OLED technology with curved screens and 4K displays. So, but remember, and for the first time ever, they've been talking about this for a couple years. LG is actually taking pre-orders in Korea for their first 4K TV. It's only $15,000, so everyone can rush out.
Well, the Sony one's what, $25,000? So LG is quite a bargain.
I'm not seeing any game-changing things, but a good article I'll post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/techradio. The 17 most intriguing gadgets of CES 2013. This is from Huffington Post. Something called the Happy Fork, H-A-P-I Fork, a smart fork that actually. With sensors can tell you how fast you're eating. So it really brings a true meaning to kind of the slow carb diet, like encouraging you to slow down, eat your food. Maybe you're eating too much.
Yeah. Can I make my kids chew the food then? Is there an eye chew
as
well?
You can put something in their mouth, but Z-board, they say we're getting closer to the hoverboard than you've ever thought. It's an electric skateboard. And you don't have to actually use your feet and push. So you lean forward and it moves forward. You lean back and it starts to brake.
Oh, yeah.
So we're not quite there yet with Marty McFly, but we're getting there. What are some other things I've seen?
So there are odds on all these two as to whether or not it's going to be vaporware or if it's actually going to happen.
Well, you know,
well, some of these are already, some of them are saying have dates that they're expecting to ship, but go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, that's really not, I think people think that, well, CES is a showcase for, it's not the equivalent to the Detroit Car Show where, you know, you go and see cars that they're going to have out next year or in 4 years. It's not really what it's about. It's for most of the players that are there, it's a showcase of technology and shows you an overall trend. And the overall trend I'm getting and everything that I've read and seen is we're seeing smart devices working its way just like the fork thing you're talking about into your home.
How about this? The $4,000 fridge from Samsung. It is coming out this spring. It has Wi-Fi in it, so you can play Pandora at your fridge. Also integrates Evernote. So, you know, if you're at the fridge, you're like, shoot, I need milk. You can type in there, I need milk, and then that'll be on your mobile device. So when you're at the store, what did I need again? Oh, yeah, milk.
And those are the type of devices we're going to see more and more of. The 4 times larger resolution flat screen is just something everybody expects, and that is not news. That is just anybody who thought that, well, it's never going to get any better or brighter or bigger than the TVs that are out now, apparently hasn't cracked a laptop in a while because that's how things go. So that is not news that there are bigger, expensive screens that, by the way, in 4 years will be about $1,000.
I can't believe they didn't call it Super HD, though.
Well, who cares what they call it, because it's just that is how things go.
This aligns exactly what we were talking about roughly a month ago when we were talking about, you know, Christmas gifts, holiday gifts. We talked about the Nest, the smart thermostat. We talked about the Philips light bulbs. Mm-hmm.
CES stuff this year was actually Intel, NVIDIA, and other chip manufacturers coming out with what their roadmaps were and showing demos of very low power products. I mean, Intel, yes, they have the best high-performance chips for computer stuff, but they're taking that same chip and actually reducing the power from about 95 watts all the way down to 5 watts.
Which is what you need, by the way, if you're going to put it in something other than a computer.
Right.
So, you know, all of that news is exactly what we're looking for smart devices, you know, as we move away from the computer being the center of technology. But still connected. So lots of great news, I think.
Well, let's wrap the discussion up on CES, unless anybody has anything else they want to mention. We do need to take a quick break. When we come back, we have a spate of Mac things to talk about, the sizes and issues and other things to do with those. We have some security updates to take care of and some important upgrades on a few browsers and things to talk about. And, of course, anything gleaned from our Facebook page and from our phone callers and our emailers. The phone number is 800-524-3604. The number to text is 368-1677. And our email address, of course, is midday, M-I-D-D-A-Y, at sdpb.org. We'll be right back after this. And welcome back to Dakota Midday Tech Radio. for this mid-January day. We appreciate you being here. Our next program will be January 25th, 2 weeks from today. Please join us on that day and all the time in between on our Facebook page at facebook.com/techradio. We hope you'll join us there. You can also send us an email anytime, midday@sdpb.org. Well, Joel, Macworld coming up later this month.
Yeah, last day of the month.
Okay, rumors must be flying.
Yeah, you know, I touched on that in the break a little bit. I would be surprised if they announce a new hardware product at Macworld. They just haven't done that for a very long time. They prefer to have their own events where, they can control where the media is, how big the audience is, the audience reaction, all of that type of thing. It's not out of the realm of possibility, but I would be surprised if we see anything that at the end of the month. However, could see some software news. Lots of apps will be announced then, third-party products. So it's still a very exciting time. I wish I could go. It's been a few years since I've been to Macworld. They're fabulous.
Where is it this year?
San Francisco. It's always in San Francisco. Except for when they used to have two a year, which one was in New York. Okay. Actually, it was in New York, and before that it was in Boston. But
okay.
That's been going along since 1994.
Yeah, well, you're holding up explain what you're holding up to everybody.
This is pretty cool.
I was opening a box, and I found my very limited run Newton Message Pad 110 that's in a clear case. They made tons of Message Pad 110s, but they only made 100 or so of the clear case ones, and I got one, and I put batteries in it, and it booted up. And it instantly and handwriting recognition, and I was able to do all seven things it did. It was I'm 19 years old.
Think about
and
like
it's
your
still,
TI-82 calculator from high school, and then like triple it in size. This is what this
yes,
thing is. But
yes,
it's pretty incredible. I took a picture. I'll send
yeah,
it to
they're,
you.
They're
it.
Quite large, although just a bit narrower than the iPad Mini, but a whole heck of a lot. Just the screen cover is about the thickness of the iPad Mini.
Should get a shot of that, too, for the Facebook page.
Yeah,
John.
I did. I got one. Yeah.
Oh, the two. Okay.
But
comparing.
I forget what we were even talking about. We were talking about Macworld.
Well, yes. We're talking about Macworld, but maybe it's a good segment. Did you have that kind of have that covered? Any predictions for this?
Yeah, okay. I mean, my last prediction was a big fail, so I'm gonna just go with no hardware at Macworld.
Okay,
that's what
well,
I'm gonna go
speaking
with.
Speaking of not a big fail, I've had a bunch of questions about the Mac, the small iPad, and it seems to me I've got a lot of friends and a lot of family and a lot of people that are in the market for an iPad right now. And they're just as confused as they can possibly be.
Right.
They love the small form factor of the what's it? Is it just called the Mini? Or
the iPad Mini.
iPad
yep.
Mini. So they love the form factor. I'm not sure what they're scared of. If they think that there's something better with the
that
larger
you're missing
iPad,
out on it.
That they're
yeah.
missing out. So
yeah. uh-huh.
What can we do to help these folks? Get off they're high centered on something.
Yeah, well, let me tell you what you are missing out if you go with the iPad Mini over the the regular iPad or the current model, or even if you get an iPad 2, which they're still selling. What you're missing out on with the current model iPad, the iPad 4, or it's just called the new iPad, is screen resolution. You heard Jeff talk about screen resolution on the TVs. The iPad, the new iPad, has the same resolution as those HD TVs he was talking about, 2,000 by 1,000 something. So it's super high resolution. So high resolution in such a small area that you can't even discern the pixels. So it's a beautiful screen. However, when you shrink it down, you still get a very high resolution display because it's still 10 by 7 or 1,000 by 7.
Well, I think they recognize it's not an inferior mm-hmm. product.
But other than that, just a bit of speed. Those are the only two things you'll miss out. Size, the screen resolution, those two things are kind of the same thing, really, if you ask
sure.
me. And then the speed. And the speed is still much faster than the original iPad and much faster than most of the Android devices out there.
Well, I think if you have the newest iPad, they do have the Retina display.
Yeah, that's the screen resolution.
Which I really think that's just a matter of time for the iPad.
Of course, yeah.
They probably already had the ability to put it in.
Oh, absolutely.
So I actually got the Mini for Christmas, and I really like it. I had an iPad 1, so, mm-hmm. you know, getting pretty old, which still is an awesome device. Like, the iPad's really, I think, I don't feel like that doesn't still seem like a cool device, the iPad 1.
Even
it's a little dated as far as mm-hmm. time, but it's not like walking around with, you know, what you're holding.
Yeah, sure.
But I really like the iPad Mini, the way it fits in my hand. Mm-hmm. And to me, that decision comes down to kind of your, and I know this is like definitely first world problems here, but your portfolio of devices. So like I can't, for maybe 2 days, 48 hours, or maybe a weekend, I can go with just like my iPad Mini, but I really need my MacBook to get work done and to type emails and to write reports and things like that. And so collectively, a nice big iPad and a nice small laptop almost feel the same. So I like my laptop and then in my pack, the iPad Mini, so I could, you know, leave it behind, go to the coffee shop, things like that.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would say. I think if you have multiple devices, the iPad Mini, especially if you use multiple devices concurrently, I know that I might have an iPad Mini open to check emails, but I might have right next to me my computer that I might be working on some photo processing, or I might be doing a design project, and I might have them, you know, at the same time. I think like a lot of people do. Again, that sounds like a very first world problem, but that's how we use technology. However, if you think that your main device, like the one you're going to use, like maybe it's replacing your home computer, is going to be an iPad, then I would recommend getting the larger one.
Agreed.
The big one, so that you got better size on fonts.
Yeah, my favorite part about the iPad Mini is the fact that I can hold it in one hand and I can manipulate another device, whether that's answer a phone call or type something on the computer or open a door, close a door, or take away a knife from my kid. You know, that is probably the thing that I like the most about it that I did not expect when I got it.
Or restrain your Labrador Retriever.
I wish it could fit in the back pocket of your jeans.
I'm glad it doesn't fit in the back pocket.
It's probably dangerous, but that would be nice.
I said that to my wife the other day, and I sounded really old. I said, why do people put their phones in the back pocket?
Well, I do that all the time.
What is wrong with them?
Yeah. So I got to pass along a quote from a coworker from the holidays. They said he was speaking of being able to watch the television again because his kids, when they were eating, they had one hand on a device, an iPad or a Kindle or whatever, and when they weren't eating, they had two hands on it. And he said, you know, that allows me to get back and watch the television channels I want again. And I just had to pass that along. But
this isn't device specific, but I read a stat that just came out this week. So I mean, partly happens on mobile, partly on our computers, partly, you know, everywhere. A recent stat came out on a study. The average American spends 3.2 hours a day on social media. And so from my standpoint, from my business, like that is certain, like you can't tell me.
That sounds good to you.
Yeah. You can't tell me you shouldn't, you should ignore something that people spend 3.2 hours a day. If you're trying to market to someone or trying to message them, I mean, people probably don't even watch that much TV anymore. I don't know. I mean, maybe they
I think it's actually more than that.
It might be, but
well, we have some things to talk about as far as content creation for things
that's
like
a big deal.
What's the big deal you've got Amazon and Netflix.
Amazon, Netflix are now are buying or funding content for television, and one of the biggest deals is the fact that. Netflix is funding Ricky Gervais, who's a comedian from Great Britain. He's the creator of The Office. He has a show called Derek that is going to play only on Netflix, which, you know, and I suppose just like any other channel is, you know, you'll be able to buy it on DVD. But that is, I was talking about this last year. I said at some point there will be a tipping point where online content will be so good that people will jump ship to go get that online content. And that, I believe, is the tipping point. That and they're kind of resurfacing, and I believe Amazon's doing this, the Arrested Development, which is a show from like 10 years ago.
That's Netflix.
Netflix, yeah. Yeah.
So just Netflix only.
And that huge stars in that. So I think this is going to be the year where we see the tipping point of content maybe being so good that people will pull the plug and cut the cord because what they want to see is available on the internet and now the internet only.
The thing that just blows my mind is it's not just I mean, the content is the reason people go one way or another. I think the only thing that's people are still paying cable bills for is because of sports, because of live, you know, live content
events
like that. Like,
absolutely.
I know I could DVR, you know, the playoff football game, but I also know it's going to get ruined for me by the time I get back to my DVR because I'm going to hear about it. Someone's going to talk about it, or I'm going to see it on social media. But I think as soon as that, like, that to me also is the tipping point. And I think the part that blows my mind is cable companies still haven't decided, well, we better start offering good service now. Mm-hmm. And
you think about television service just in general. Nowhere else in your life do you pay $100, $200 a month and you only use 10-20% of the content. You say, well, I'm going to fill my car up $50 and I'm only going to use $5 of gas. And then I'm going to go put another $50 into it. That's nowhere in your life do you do that. So I think this is the tipping point. The year will tell us if that's the truth, but people don't want to pay that for what little they use out of it.
Unless, like John said, you're a sports, you know, I don't want to watch the Arsenal play Manchester United later.
Yeah.
You know, even when they rerun it at night,
yep,
it just is not the same. I don't know what it is inside the human psyche or whatever that will not allow me to watch a rebroadcast of a game.
Absolutely.
ESPN
had the ESPN Classics. Like, yeah, these are like the 1991 Minnesota Twins World Series. Like, that's amazing time. But, like, I know what's happening. I know the next at-bat. I know the next play. Like, it's not that fun.
Yeah,
but sports is about the only case where that is true, because most people now, I mean, I don't even know anybody that follows the same shows on TV that I do that watches them in real time. Most people would rather watch them so that they can fast forward through the commercials.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, along those same lines, we have an email here from Peg in Custer. Any tips for conserving costs when streaming movies on the internet? She said it seems like Verizon slows us down towards the end of the month if we've done a lot of downloading during that month. We always clear the cache and anything we're downloading from Netflix, but sometimes the speed gets so slow it becomes impossible. Is it just the consequence of inconsistent signal in the Black Hills? Or is she getting throttled here?
She's getting throttled. I would be curious to know if, you know, what device she's streaming onto. She says Verizon, and I know West River that they're a larger internet service provider than they are over here.
If she's clearing a cache, she's probably talking about a browser on a PC.
I suspect it's a computer. Yeah, that's probably true. If that's the case, I don't know that she can do much more than that than switch from Verizon, honestly. And that would be my first recommendation, or to call Verizon and say, hey, what's the deal here? You know,
I'm torn on that. Like, we switched to Sprint just to get that unlimited data, which is nice.
Yes.
But I also go many places where I don't get coverage because of Sprint. So there are times when I wish I had Verizon back.
Well, if she's using Verizon for her home internet,
true.
I don't know if she has a lot of choices. That's kind of the drag with living anywhere in South Dakota, frankly, that there aren't a lot of choices. But that might be the first way I'd look. I'd be curious to know, Amos, if you think that there's anything she can do to increase the speed.
Well, if she's actually being throttled by Verizon, as she's suggesting, then yeah, there's really nothing you can do. Verizon will calculate how much data you've used. It's not a matter of your browser saying, you know, your cache is full or your browser telling them how much you've used. If they say you've met your limit and they're throttling you, I would call and see if that was actually the case and if that's a policy they have and if they have a meter somewhere where they can look up and say, okay, we've already hit our 5 gig limit for this month. We know from now on that things are going to be slower. You know, the actual question said how we can conserve costs, though. I don't know if she's experiencing extra costs in that or where those extra costs are coming from. I'm curious what that portion of the question entails.
Yeah, it's just we don't have unlimited funds, any ideas. And boy, if you can't get into a Wi-Fi network of somebody's or your own.
I would maybe explore, like, you know, maybe
if it's a family situation,
is
there, can't you put kind of like monitors on the hose, basically? You can start to.
You know, the problem with this, if you're running data for other things, very little.
What was that look? I think he was my analogy, probably.
The hose. He was wondering
the
what
fire
the
hose
is.
Like the hose.
What exactly
the fire
is
the hose?
The internet
pipe.
Hose.
Oh.
The pipe. The bandwidth.
The tubes.
I didn't know what you were monitoring.
It's called the intertubes, right?
Right.
What do you guys call it here? That's the big fiber optic cable. Or
yes.
You have to excuse us.
Glass.
We have fun here.
Mm-hmm. Glass.
So, you know, very little you could do to conserve that. I mean, sending in emails, you could send a million emails a month and you wouldn't even slice into a bit of that. So it's the video that's taking it all up. So I suppose you could see if somebody else is. But I like Amos's, contact them and find out if they are doing that and seeing if there's a way around it.
If you want to
send us more information, yeah. Maybe we can be more specific.
I don't know of a setting in Netflix. I know, you know, when they check your bandwidth or whatever to deliver that movie, I don't know if there's an override. You can say, okay, always send me the lowest quality, or if it'll, you know, if it auto... senses.
I haven't seen that, but I do see it auto sensing and reducing the quality when you have a slower connection.
They just do that automatically.
Yeah. Right.
All of those video content providers, they automatically.
But what I'm asking and what I'm saying, though, is that if you could go into your account settings and say, just, you know, don't send me the most you can, send me the least you can, that would help conserve some of your.
That has more to do with current throughput, though, when they do that. I don't think that they want to get into it, because they'd rather send you the best video all the time because then you like their service.
Well, Peg, I guess you're just consoled with living in one of the most beautiful places on earth. And
I guess you pay the extra $8 a month and get the DVD shipped to you.
Yeah. All right. Well,
that's just for the end of the month.
We do need to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got some security and browser news to talk about, and, of course, more calls and emails. Again, the number is 800-524-3604. If you'd like to text us, that number is 605-368-1677 or 3681NPR, and our email address is midday@sdpb.org. And welcome back to Dakota Midday for Friday, January 11th. Our next program on this network is Friday, January 25th. We'll hopefully see all our shiny faces back here, and with more Macworld anticipation, I guess.
Oh, yeah. We'll probably know a little more about that.
And we'll take up all those calls and emails that we miss over the course of the next couple of weeks. Up next, after this program, is, of course, Science Friday from NPR. And a number of great topics coming your way. Ira Flato and the guys taking care of us there. But first, the second half of the show would be more appropriate for this program.
As they say
on Car Talk, the third half of the show, we have some security updates with Jeff Litterick. Jeff, what's going on out there with, I'm assuming, Java updates and the regular stuff, or what's up?
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, sorry, but it's kind of a broken record with Java anymore. There is a critical zero-day exploit, and remember, Java runs more than just on Windows machine; it runs on all machines. You know, the recommendations anymore is if you don't need it, uninstall it, and unfortunately, it comes pre-installed on a lot of machines that don't even need it. And if you can't do that, then disable it out of your browsers, and all the steps are complex. But if you do a Google, you can find out how to disable Java from your browsers. But if you really don't need it, just get rid of it, uninstall it, and just move on.
Jeff, you're going to probably need Java, though, to get some very basic utility things done around the Internet. If you're watching videos or listening to audio or things like that.
Actually, not really anymore. I don't have Java installed on any of my home machines and have it for over a year, and I haven't run into a single instance except for a speed test site where I had to have it installed. I've disabled it at work out of my browsers and stuff for security reasons except for one, and I actually use Java programs at work, but I don't need them in the browser, and I really haven't run into that. Almost everything now, because of the advent of HTML5 and the mobile devices, don't really require Java applets anymore. They may run JavaScript, but that's a totally different thing. But they really don't run Java much anymore. So,
okay. So what do folks need to do this week to make sure that they're going to get all the updates they need to do?
Yeah, make sure all your auto updates is done. Both Adobe Reader and Flash have updates out this week too. Microsoft has theirs. And then I'd go into your control panel, and if you see Java there, double check and if you need it, you can always reinstall it easily enough by downloading again. I would probably go and just uninstall that. And then if you need it or you come across and need it, download the newest and latest version. Hopefully by then, this it will be fixed, the patch.
Okay. I see that the 26th flavor of Chrome is out, the popular Google browser for PCs and on the Mac side too. Joel, can you get Chrome?
Yes, you can. Okay. And you can also get it for your iOS device.
I really like it on the iOS.
I hear that it's in beta for other smaller devices, and you kind of need to follow links. You can't get it in the Google Play Store. But
what
you can,
smaller devices?
Like Android devices and things like that is coming out. There's a beta version out for Android. You can't go search for it, though. You kind of got to follow a link from some other place that's going to share it because it is beta. Jeff, is that are there big security things with the new Chrome, or is it more the speed that's taking the front stage on that?
Well, a little bit of a correction. Certain versions of Android already have Chrome built in. If you have the very latest version, that just started shipping, but most people don't. So most Android doesn't have Chrome yet, but if you do buy a brand new device with the latest, Chrome comes with it. Yes, basically speed. One thing with Chrome most people don't realize is Chrome has taken, or I should say Google, the responsibility for Flash and reader updates because they're so often and so critical. And Flash is still one of the things you cannot remove from a browser and still have a good internet browsing experience. So if you use Chrome, Adobe Flash Player and the reader stuff, if you view it inside the browser, is actually built into Chrome. They patch it. They maintain it. You don't have to do anything. So if you're running Chrome, you don't even need to have Flash installed because it's already installed in the browser, and it will handle all the security stuff for you. So it's a big benefit, and that's one of the updates that came out this week in Chrome. So.
Okay. And then, of course, they said it's something like 25% faster than the last version of Chrome or the browser, which is kind of astounding because it was so fast anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Chrome is becoming, and I run Chrome on my iPad exclusively because I love the integration with the desktops where the bookmarks and the open windows and recently closed windows functions are so nice, but it is the fastest browser out there besides having all these nice features I love on integration. So it is my main browser and has been for some time. Firefox came out with a new update this week, too. They're up to 18. But Chrome has kind of replaced everything, and I run it on every device I have and sync between all those devices so that it's just a joy to use.
Let me back the bus up here for a second. You run Chrome on your iPad.
Yes.
And so does that mean that you can do Flash videos on Chrome?
No,
it's still blocked or whatever, not non-supported.
Right. Okay. You can't do the Flash, but all the other features of Chrome come with it, including syncing of the bookmarks, syncing of your open tab. For example, Chrome really has a nice feature where if you're at home on your desktop and you open up a page, you can walk away, and then on your iPad it knows that device had that page open. You can open that page exactly where you left off on your iPad and then go back to the desktop and reopen the page from the iPad again. So there's a lot of sync stuff, and that's why I use it on the iPad. I mean, on the iPad, it still uses the Apple Safari rendering engine, but it adds all the Chrome benefits and features on top of it.
Wow, that's so your web pages can stalk you around the house depending on what device you've got going on.
And it does come in handy at times.
Yeah. Okay. Any other gaming news we have, Jeff? I hear Australia is thinking about having a adults only or 18 plus rating for violent video games and things like that. Have we seen anything like that in the States or any proposals to do that?
Well, we actually already have that. The Australian thing goes back a long ways, and I've followed it for years because of Australian gamers couldn't actually buy what we would consider an M-rated game. So if you see an M sticker on there, it was in some parts of Australia illegal to sell, except sell as a kind of an adult type item, just like you would buy other adult items. You'd have to be over 21. You have to be in a case. You have to go into a special store, stuff like that. And
okay.
What this is doing for them is just allowing them to sell M-rated games in everyday stores. There's okay. not much difference. It's kind of just a legal process they're going through because they didn't have the process in place to be able to sell what we would consider an M-rated game. Be it said, we kind of already have this. I mean, it's not a government enforcement. It's more of an organization where, and you should follow those. M is for, 17-plus people, just like, R ratings and stuff for movie theaters are. But we rate our games already, so I would make sure you follow those recommendations.
I think there's a big big kind of storm and discussion on the horizon there that we won't bother to get into today on the show. But I think that discussion's coming as far as taking
violence in games?
Yeah,
oh,
and
absolutely.
Things like that. So
violence in games,
again,
violence in movies, violence in yep. comic books is all probably going to be talked about here over the next few months.
Yep. Well, technology is what we're talking about today, and our number is 800-524-3604. We are down to just a few minutes left in the show, but you can still text us. Send us a text at 368-1677, and our email address is midday@sdpb.org. John, I'm intrigued by the conference you were at and spoke at in Las Vegas this week. What, any big takeaways from the blogging scene and in the social media side?
Sure. It was one of the smaller they have different tracks. Like I spoke in like the content creation track and then social media and law, like a legal track they mm-hmm. had, and then podcasting. I went to a couple of podcast sessions, and I'll tell you what, I don't know, maybe it never went away, but I kind of feel like podcasting is making a renaissance. The guy from Libsyn added a stat. Libsyn is a really great service that you can host your podcast starting at about $5 a month, pretty easy. And then you can take it from there to iTunes, to your blog, places like that.
Mm-hmm.
he said that there are 9,000 blogs for every one podcast. So if you're trying to stand out in your niche, in your area in marketing, consider a podcast. I'm trying to think about how that makes sense for us because like with Lemonly, our other company, a lot of that is visual, hard to kind of just do audio and talk about visuals a little bit,
well,
but like
podcasts aren't just audio, right? You can do a video.
Yeah, you can do a video podcast. I guess the word can be kind of loosely pushed around, but
yeah,
if you think about, in whatever your niche is.
Well, I mean, it can be a mix of audio and video.
Yeah, exactly.
Too,
yeah, but. And if you're going to, I mean, it's like what we're doing right now. If you we could turn this into a text, we could transcribe this and put it on a blog in text. There's SEO value for that in Google search, but also if you think of the search value and someone going to iTunes and typing in the word in like tech show or fishing, hunting, sports, baseball, whatever.
Okay.
And showing up in the you have less competition in the podcast area. And so that's kind of what his point is. There's work, you have to record, have some equipment and, host it and everything like that. But, consider podcasting. And actually we were talking a little bit before the show about, just the tech part of audio, and I think you had maybe
a
question.
Yeah, it's getting so well. It's getting so much easier if you've got an iPad.
Yeah, I don't
whatever. You can record audio and edit.
I don't have a podcast, but sometimes I'll do an interview or just talk to somebody, and I'll set down my iPhone and turn on the little voice memo app and just sit in the middle of the table and just have a conversation. And I'll tell you what, that thing is really great for clarity, and I can go back there and reference things if I need any notes. And I think even decent equipment actually starts pretty cheap. Maybe
to be able to plug a microphone in and actually do that on a more professional level. And then we've got apps, Joel, that for editing.
Absolutely. There's, no end of apps from free to, hundreds of dollars for editing both video and audio, but particularly audio on your phone or your
Do you have a few that stand out that you can mention today?
Well, it depends on what you want to do, but one that I've used a lot is called Concert Record, and it's about $5, and it gives you really good use of space on your device, which if you're using it on a phone or something, is an important deal.
What's that mean? It saves, it compresses the files?
Well, no, I mean, it tells you what you have left and before you record, if you're going to have enough space.
Oh, okay.
And it allows you, and this is, I think, brilliant, it allows you to send it to any other device using kind of a local network. Basically, it gives you an IP address to type into your web browser, and you can download it so you can clear it off of your device to save space, which has been very useful since I tend to record concerts that I'm in for that might be an hour, 2 hours.
The other one I'd recommend, this isn't for recording or editing, but for listening, is called Stitcher. It's called, like, it's basically smart radio, so Stitcher Radio. So the difference is, as opposed to the iTunes app or like the podcast app that Apple has, where I have to subscribe to a radio show, download it onto my device, and actually have the file on my device.
Yeah,
Stitcher is just streaming. It's almost like a Pandora for your favorite podcast and radio shows.
Would you put that link on Facebook for me?
Absolutely.
And the reason I say that is because we've got we podcast all the shows that we can legally podcast on SDPB Radio, and we have had some folks ask why their favorite Jazz Nightly or Morning Classics or whatever is not available for podcast. Well, that would be similar or analogous to us allowing people to download that music, which is, of course, illegal. So we can't go out and tell them to record it on their own, but apparently there are apps that that allow you to DVR that Uncle Jimmo.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah,
and then you
essentially.
Just stream it when you have internet, so you don't actually need to put it onto your device.
Yeah. So anyway, if you would link that for me, I know there are listeners that would definitely go check that out and mention the name one more time for me.
Stitcher. So like kind of S T I T C H E R.
Okay. On the video side of things, Joel, do you have any favorite apps or?
You know, iMovie, if you want to do a video editing, is a very powerful editing program for the iPad. It's by Apple. So I think a lot of people instantly think, well, there must be something better because that, you know, it's by Apple, so it can't be that powerful. But I think it is one of the more powerful video editing apps. And I see, you know, they have filters and things set up so you can do a video podcast right from that editing thing. GarageBand also on the audio side is a great multi-track recorder for the iPad, and I would also recommend that. It interfaces.
Is there a hardware breakout then for
there
that?
There are lots of them by lots of companies. So you can use the built-in digital input, or you can use the connector on the bottom for just hundreds and hundreds of devices that you can plug into it. So no limit to what you can do with those devices. I will remind you that the iPad is more powerful than computers that were used just 4 or 5 years ago to do audio editing for multi-platinum records. So pretty amazing stuff can be done with these small devices.
I got to say, there's got to be some editing software out there, because I was in the beautiful city of Brandon last weekend at a wrestling tournament, and when certain kids would go up to wrestle, all of a sudden iPads would go up, and they were recording those wrestling matches on their iPad. And I'm not just talking one or two. I'm talking a lot, and some would, you know, actually go down and sit by the mat. But most of them I saw sitting up in the stands were sitting up in the stands doing that too. So there's a
public service
proliferation.
Taking pictures with your iPad is not cool.
Okay,
just a PSA there.
All right. Well, I wasn't doing that myself, but
maybe
I saw a lot.
Maybe
of
there's
doing
another
that.
Pitch for the iPad Mini. A little less uncool.
Yeah, a little less uncool.
All right. Well. Thank you for the our version of our dose of hip today on the show.
Just helping you out.
Yeah. John, anything coming up in industry-related happenings in the next couple of weeks?
No, nothing really on my radar right now. There will be a couple conferences locally here in the spring from some different companies that we can talk about coming up.
Okay.
But, yeah, no big announcements right now in the social media space.
We will certainly talk about those on shows to come. On the show on the 25th, we want to invite folks back noon Central Time to Dakota Midday Tech Radio at that time. Thanking our panelists today, Joel Brovelite. Thank you, Joel. Anything coming up on your horizon? Concerts?
Nothing that comes to mind right now.
All right. Well, post that to Facebook if you have any. Amos Asap from SDN Communications. Thank you, Amos, for your time today. We appreciate the surroundings and your company here today. Nine Clouds, John T. Meyer, of course. Thank you so much. And Jeff Litterick from BIT and Peer. Reminder to listeners, if you joined us late, an MP3 version and podcast of the show is posted to the web soon, along with the show notes. Hit the website at listen.sdpb.org. Stay tuned to South Dakota Public Broadcasting. NPR News is next, followed by Talk of the Nation, Science Friday. Have a great weekend, everybody.